Okay, so we left off on absorption, how we had those final particles of digestion, like amino acids and fatty acids and monosaccharides being absorbed through the brush border, those villi, microvilli, and we're going to go through that hepatic portal system ultimately to the liver. Whatever doesn't go through that is going to come to here. I'm going to actually get this to the side over here. Okay, and that jejunum, so this is jejunum and ileum over here. You can't really tell which one, but this would be the very distal ileum right here. And the ileum is going to converge with the cecum right here at the ileocecal valve. So that's going to slowly allow these particles to go into the first part of your large intestine called the cecum. You can see the appendix coming here. Remember, the appendix technically does have a function, even though you can live without it. It is a reservoir of gut bacteria, and it can kind of replenish the gut in cases of acute diarrhea. So that's the cecum, and then you have what's called the ascending colon. That will be on the right side of your body. This is the transverse colon. This would be the descending colon. And then the very terminal aspect is called the sigmoid colon. It's not really good on these models. And then this last bit is the rectum here, and then the last inch or so is called the anus. So the rectum is about 3 to 4 inches long. That distal aspect is the anus. A couple other anatomical features, you can see the tinea coli here and all these pouches called hostra of the large intestines. You'll want to remember that in the large intestines, there's not really strict digestion that takes place. What it is that you have a big flora of microorganisms like bacteria. You have a whole lot, and what they're going to do is the bacteria are actually going to take that plant material like cellulose, all the vegetables and the fiber from the fruits and vegetables that you eat, and further break down that cellulose that your body can't do. And that's going to help with the movement of feces throughout your intestines. In addition, the breaking down of that, bacteria will produce vitamin K as a byproduct, which helps us our blood clot. And it's also gonna train our the other bacteria in the intestines for several different purposes. It does a lot of competition for a lot of bad bacteria. For example, the bacteria Clostridium difficile, which is called C. diff in the hospitals, leads to a lot of different cases of diarrhea. So the good flora, the good population of microorganisms in your intestines can kind of keep C. diff at bay, making sure that it doesn't show its ugly face. So like when people are taking antibiotic for some type of an infection, it can kill the good bacteria of their gut, and those good bacteria are basically competing with C. diff. So if you remove the good bacteria, C. diff can kind of start to cause problems, and that's why they get those cases of diarrhea in the hospitals when people are taking antibiotics sometimes. So think about the digestion of plant material, the competition of different bacteria, production of vitamin K, a little bit of absorption of different vitamins and minerals, water, obviously, in the large intestines. Once everything gets to the rectum, this is, I mean, obviously, we're feces in the large intestine at this point. The distal aspect of the rectum, you can kind of see a few sphincters right here. That's the external anal sphincter. This is the internal anal sphincter. The external one is a skeletal muscle. It's under voluntary control. The internal one is not. Then you can see these blue things. That's the hemorrhoidal plexus of veins. If you didn't know this, a hemorrhoid is basically a dilated vein in your rectum. And then you'll defecate. Again, this whole process of food in your digestive system, you want to remember carbohydrates will stay in the stomach anywhere from about 45 minutes to 2 hours, depending on the carb. Proteins, we're looking at like 2 to 3, maybe 4 hours. Fats will stay in the stomach for, you know, upwards to 5 or 6 hours, which is why when you eat higher protein and fat-rich foods, it makes you feel full longer. The food will stay in your small intestines for about another 4 to 6 hours while they get digested finally and absorbed. And then the food can stay in your large intestines for, you know, sometimes up to 24 hours, depending on the food. So that's what I wanted to go over for GI system. Hopefully this helps. And again, you guys, I'm sorry I've been gone for so long.